The Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, encourages us. He exhorts us. If there is any encouragement in Christ, and there is, if you have been encouraged, exhorted by Christ through His Word, which is a common reality for true believers, then make my joy complete, be of the same mind.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day. I have a letter from Sarah from Arizona. She says, "Thank you for all your prayers you have lifted up to our wonderful God, Lord and Savior. We gratefully appreciate your prayers and know that God works wonderfully through them according to His will. In the name of Christ Jesus, we ask Him to bless you and keep you, embrace you, and grant you His peace that surpasses all understanding. In much love, Sarah." Well, Sarah, thank you so much for your encouragement and your prayers for this ministry. And it is a privilege for us to pray for you and for your family. And so we praise our Lord for His encouragement through you.
And Greg, the message today reveals some important truths about how we're to live out our faith.
Yes, it does, Dave, because it has to do with maintaining unity in the church. So let's get right to our passage. Would you turn with us to Philippians chapter 2? And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 2.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
"But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and our hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting, we were parakaleoing you and encouraging and imploring each one as a father with his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." The Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, encourages us. He exhorts us. If there is any encouragement in Christ, and there is, if you have been encouraged, exhorted by Christ through His Word, which is a common reality for true believers, then be of the same mind. Make my joy complete. Be of the same mind. Turn to Romans chapter 15. This encouragement comes through the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, speaks to us through His Word. And for the true believer, it is a common reality for every true believer to have the Lord speaking into our hearts by His Spirit through His Word. That is a common reality. And it actually is not bouncing off our hardened hearts. It is being affected. Our hearts are being affected because we've been changed. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction." Talking about the Word of God, "that through the perseverance and encouragement of" what? "The Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives" what? "Perseverance and encouragement." God is the one who gives us encouragement through the Word of God. "May He grant you to be" of what? "The same mind." Like-minded. So for believers, we have been exhorted. We were exhorted when we were first convicted of the Word of God with the gospel, that we were sinners in need of a Savior. And we have responded to that. If there is any encouragement or exhortation in Christ, and there is, if in Christ we have been convicted, reproved, exhorted, then make my joy complete by walking worthily, as we'll see, in a like-minded unity. Very clearly, Paul is reminding all of us believers about our common experience in Christ. We see that. Now, folks, if you claim to be a believer in Christ and you've never experienced the exhortation of Christ through his word to you personally, I would question whether you know the Lord. It is assumed that this is the reality for every believer. If this is the case, and it is. You see, if you have a hardened, unredeemed, unregenerated heart, you are not going to respond. You will not respond to Christ's exhortation. But if Christ has saved you, it is common to believers to be encouraged by the Lord Jesus Christ, his word. Well, that's the first basis that we have for unity in a sense. Look at the second one. First of all, he says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, then notice the second one. If there is any consolation of love, and there is. Consolation of love, what does that mean? Consolation of love, and there is. Well, this word consolation, paramuthion, we had the parakaleo, now we have paramuthion, speaks of coming alongside and speaking tenderly. Coming alongside and speaking tenderly. The other one was coming alongside and maybe admonishing, right? Or exhorting and then encouraging. This is coming alongside and speaking tenderly. If there is any coming alongside and speaking tenderly of love, he says here, then make his joy complete by being of the same mind. Now, the term consolation is a good translation, but remember, there is a tenderness and actually a persuasion to it. It carries the sense of persuasion. This tender consolation that persuades. It speaks of another common experience for every believer. If there is any tender, persuasive comfort, as we will see, flowing from his love for us, and there is, then be like-minded. You see, if you're a believer in Christ, you have experienced God's tender, persuasive consolation of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You've experienced that in your salvation. God's tender consolation of his love concerning what he did in Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Just the fact that God would love us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ would die for us, that he would give his Son as a sacrifice, that he would love us so much, this persuades us tenderly. This love persuades us. It controls us. The Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5, for the love of Christ controls us. God's love for me changes my mindset towards my circumstances and other people. When I'm focused on him, allowing him to function in my heart, I see what he has done for me. It changes my mindset. And if there is any consolation in love, see how great a love the Father has that we should be called children of God. Wretched sinners redeemed by the blood of Christ, children of God. Tremendous, wonderful love. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And we see that in the forgiveness of sins, having taken our sins as far as the east is from the west. So great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. That should persuade us. A self-sacrificial love for us that is unconditional should persuade us. And if you're a true believer, it has. It has moved your heart to be tenderly consoled, persuaded, if you're a true believer. If there is any consolation in love, any consolation flowing from his love. You see, God's love should persuade us to obey him, to walk in unity. If this is true, then Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Think rightly. If this is true, think rightly, as we will say. If you're a believer, you have experienced the tender, persuasive comfort that flows from your loving Father who gave his Son. And we see that in the Word of God, and the Spirit of God illumines that in our hearts. And if that hasn't happened, maybe you don't know the Lord. It's a common reality for every true believer. And it should motivate us, as we will see, to obedience and like-mindedness. Now notice we have a third reality that is common to all believers. If there is any encouragement in Christ and there's any consolation of love, and there is, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, Paul appeals to another reality for those who are truly in Christ. There is fellowship of the Spirit. The term fellowship here is a familiar Greek word, koinonia, speaks of sharing, communion, or participation. And this fellowship of the Spirit has to do with participation or communion or sharing of the Holy Spirit. You see, that is actually enjoyed by every true believer. And folks, if we have oneness, we share based on the Holy Spirit. You see, when we believed in Jesus Christ, we were baptized into the body of Christ. We were placed into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized. That means placed into or identified with into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. When we believed in Jesus Christ, we were indwelt by the Spirit of God as a pledge of what God would complete, the completion of the job of salvation. We have this in common. We share in the tremendous down payment and pledge of our glorification. We share in the very person of the Spirit of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We share in this. All believers have this commonality, and there is a fellowship within that. And when you are walking in Christ, we understand that fellowship. When we are walking by the Spirit, we understand it. You could meet someone in Timbuktu you've never met before who's a true believer, and you know that fellowship right away. You know they know Jesus. You know there's a changed heart. There's a fellowship of the Spirit of God. And all true believers have experienced this fellowship of the Spirit. So if you have participated or had a communion in the context of the Holy Spirit that is enjoyed by every believer, then make my joy complete, being of the same mind. If this is true of you, and it is, believers. And then notice there's a fourth basis for his exhortation. If any affection and compassion. Here we have two different words, affection and compassion. The first word, affection, literally means bowels or internal organs. It was used of that time to speak of an internal tenderheartedness or affection. The term compassion speaks of compassionate mercy, actually. It is a display of concern over one's misfortune. It is of sympathy and mercy. It speaks of sympathy and mercy together. We see it in Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1, I urge you there by the compassionate mercies, it's a different word than mercy, compassionate mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, compassionate mercy, a compassion towards one's misfortune. We see that in Christ. Affection and compassion, usually, and now when these two words are brought together, it speaks of a tender-hearted mercy. A tender-hearted compassion. These two words are used together and translated this in Colossians 3:12, a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion. It is only the believer in Jesus Christ that has experienced the tender-hearted mercies and compassion of the living God in Christ. It is only the believer in Jesus Christ who has experienced God's compassion, having looked upon our helpless state of sin and saved us from our sins. Tender-hearted. Turn to Luke chapter 1. We see this tender mercy in light of the coming Savior. This tender mercy. We've experienced that tender mercy. God is so good. He is so gracious. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And this is the prophecy concerning, initially, John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy, that's our word, the tender mercy of our God. God was tender and merciful towards us, compassionate, and He saved us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And he says here back in our passage, if there is any affection and compassion, and yes, in Jesus Christ, it is abounding. If this is true of you, then make my joy complete, being of the same mind. If these truths are true of you, and my question to you would be, are these truths true of you? If you have been changed, I thought I was saved and I was not saved. I was living my own life, doing my own thing, and I went to church, did those things, I was not saved. And Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, convicted me of my sin. Choose this day whom you will serve. And I repented of my sin. I knew what it was. I knew I wasn't going the right way. I knew I wasn't following Him. And He convicted me of sin. And I was changed. This is speaking of changed people. True believers. Because if you try to have unity apart from this, it ain't going to happen, folks. You're just going to cause disunity and trouble, by the way. You need to be a believer. There's no way to have unity apart from being in the body of Christ in the context of the Spirit of God working within us. And guess what? This brings forth joy. He says, if these are those things are true, back in our passage, if therefore there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Make my joy complete. You see, the Apostle Paul was like John. John said, I have no greater joy than seeing my children walking in the truth. The Apostle Paul is saying, you want to make me happy? You want to fill my joy to the top? Then be same-minded in Christ. Think the same way as we're going to see. Being of the same mind. And that only happens if you are truly have participated in these things that are common to all believers. So then our motivation for unity comes from the truths that permeate our lives and apply to each and every one of us. And they have to do with what Christ has done for us and the unity we have by His Spirit. So do you know Jesus? Do you share in these benefits that permeate the life of a true believer? Are you convicted by the Word, persuaded by His love, have fellowship in His Spirit, have experienced His tender-hearted compassion by the forgiveness of sins? If not, you can, if you're willing to humble yourself. If you're willing to humble yourself and turn to Christ. I am not this way. I haven't experienced it. I am not saved, Lord God. I am not a believer. Save me. Save me from my sins. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So then, Paul's appeal for unity begins in a focus on the relationship with the living God and the benefits of the relationship that apply to all believers. These are commonalities of all true believers. And then we have a command. This is the second way we can maintain unity. First, we need to understand the basis for unity. Secondly, we need to understand what this command is, what it actually looks like, what the mindset of true unity looks like, what the thinking in our hearts is that brings about true unity. He says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the Spirit, intent on one purpose. Make my joy complete is the command. Make my joy complete. But this is a difficult portion to interpret because it literally goes like this. Make my joy complete in order that you might have the same mind. Well, the grammatical people, the Greek guys, they say basically the second portion carries the force of a command. That's why it's translated by being. Make my joy complete by being same-minded. The command is to be same-minded, which will bring forth Paul's joy. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. What does that mean? The term being-minded, phroneo, speaks of thinking, to think. It speaks of holding an opinion, having thoughts, an attitude. It's about thinking. You see, you are phroneoing right now. You're thinking something. It's your thoughts. It's your mindset. It's what's in your mind, what you're thinking. And true unity comes when we think the same thing. You say, wait a second, how can we think the same thing? Well, as we're going to see, true unity is not a group of pastors meeting together, compromising their faith so that they can get along. It's not a denomination. It's not a creed. It's not a potluck. It's not a program. It is same-mindedness in the lives of true believers. same-mindedness in the lines of true believers. So he says, fill my joy to the brim by being same-minded. Now, it's important to realize, we're going to see that verse 5 gives us the answer, ultimately, how we can be same-minded. Verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, it's unfortunate that within a couple of verses, this word phroneo is translated three different ways. It's translated mind and purpose in verse 2 and attitude in verse 5. It's the same word. When you say have this attitude, that means have this thinking. And we understand that. That's an attitude, right? If someone has an attitude, you know, they're thinking in a certain way. And so here he says, have this mind. And so what I'm saying is we'll see it is only when we have the mind of Christ that we are like-minded. It's when we think like Christ that we will have unity. And you ask, how is it that we who are so different in so many ways can think the same? How can that be? We are so different, and it is so obvious every day, right? How is it that we can think the same way? We'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This gives us part of the answer. The Apostle Paul is addressing the pride of the Corinthians. They're boasting. They're boasting in people. They're boasting in all kinds of stuff. First three chapters are ripping that apart, shredding that down, that we would boast in God alone. And so the Apostle Paul is going to give them a testimony of how he came to them so they wouldn't boast in him, but they would boast in the Lord. You see? So he's going to give a testimony. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or with wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to you know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not a persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Every seminary that I have, this is their preaching class text. He says here, it was of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. But then he says, yet we do speak wisdom. We do speak something. He says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature or complete. Those are believers that are grown up. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak what? God's wisdom. Paul brought forth the word of God. It was God's wisdom. And he says there, in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, the things which I have not seen or ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, believers, he has revealed them, that's God's wisdom, the context of the word, through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts? See, it's the thoughts of man, except the Spirit of a man, which is in him. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. God gives us His truth, His very word, and we've received His Spirit that we might freely know these things.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the closing moments of today's broadcast, review for us the key point from today's message.
Well, Dave, the key point is simply this. To maintain unity, we must be in Christ first.
And then as we began to see today and will expand upon in tomorrow's broadcast, we must have the mind of Christ. We must allow His thoughts to permeate our thoughts, and this only happens when we're allowing His Word to dwell richly in our hearts. And when we do this, we will have unity.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.